For the last few weeks, I've been preaching through the question of God's will, and this morning we're going to do the last of that series today, God's Will, My Surrender. And then, you know, once we kind of got a picture of God's will, what's there left to do but go on mission with Him, right? To get going with Him. And, you know, the thing, just as a preview for next week, in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28 and in the first chapter of Acts, where Jesus says, go into all the world, we translate that as go. But what the Greek says is, as you go into all the world. And so you can't stay, you got to go. But as you go, wherever you may be, make disciples. And so that's what we're going to look at starting next week. But this morning, again, God's will, my surrender. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. We've touched on that again, but it's just, you know, first of all, I love Christmas. I was listening to Christmas music this morning as I was getting ready and turned down the thermostat so it felt colder. And you know, but one of the things that we do is we kind of segment, you know, well, we can't do that because that's Christmas. You know, there's a great message there. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. So we're going to start with Luke 1. But the three things I want you to get today. Number one, the old life that you controlled is dead. Once you have accepted Christ as Savior, the old life that you controlled is dead. Two, your new life that you have with Christ does not belong to you. It's not your life. It's His life. And third, everything that you always thought that you wanted, peace, happiness, joy, real living, real life, are all found when we surrender and give up our life to Christ. This is what Jesus meant when He said, if you want to save your life, you got to lose it. All right. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. Again, the story of the angel coming to Mary. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And this is what I want you to hear, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, help us to pray that as sincerely as Mary did. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Father, if we're serious about Jesus, if we're serious about being saved, then Lord, that's got to be our prayer. That's got to be our prayer. You have a will for the whole world. You have a will for creation. And in that, you have a will for my life and all of our lives. And for us to really discover it, we have to surrender our life to you and become the bond slave of our Lord. So Father, be with us. Give us your Spirit that He may teach us and show us and lead us where you need us to be. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Mary was living a good life. She was there with her parents. Her father had betrothed her to Joseph, who was a good man, righteous man. He had a job. You want your daughter to marry someone that's got a job. He was a carpenter, well-respected. She was having a good life. And then one day, God intervened. And of course, most of us will think that Mary's story is totally unique. How many of us have God knocking on the door to say, by the way, your son's going to be the Son of God? Doesn't happen often. But for God's people, Mary's story is actually quite common. You're having a normal day, and you pass by a burning bush. You're having just a regular day. You've been out fishing all night, you're washing your nets, and this guy comes up to you. You're having a normal day, you're on a business trip to Damascus. And God intervenes, God interrupts. And those are just a few little biblical examples, but brothers and sisters, over the last 2,000 years, that story has been told 1,000 times or more. You're just having a normal day. I was just doing what I do. I was at work. I was at home. I was just on a walk. I was just going from one place to the other. And all of a sudden, God. I was reading this week about how many fires there have been, and they all seem to be intentional, at cathedrals and churches all across France. We remember a year or so ago when, by accident, because modern construction workers don't do well on 12th century cathedrals, Notre Dame caught fire in downtown Paris. But what that did was it sort of set off a chain reaction, and so many cathedrals and churches all across that country have been torched, burned. And I remember a few years ago when Kathy and I were there walking into to Notre Dame, and there's a statue there to Joan of Arc, which I thought was a little hypocritical, since the people who put up that statue also chipped in to burn her at the stake. I didn't mention that to anybody at the time, but she's a good example. She was just a kid. She was just a kid. And she's out in the field, and God comes to her. And there's no questioning about the power that she had once God called her. You've heard of an exotic place called Knoxville, Tennessee, right? Knoxville, Tennessee, a number of years ago, 17-year-old boy named Bill Wallace is out in his driveway working on his car, as 17-year-old boys will just do on a Saturday afternoon, right? And while he's working on his car, God calls him at 17 to be a medical missionary. And he spent the rest of his life as a medical missionary in China once he got out of school. You're just having a normal day. And you've been confronted by God. And you have a choice to make. Am I going to conform my life to what God wants for my life, or am I not? You can tell God no. Jonah did it, right? Didn't work out well for him. Doesn't work out well for anybody who tells God no. But you do have that option. It never goes well for anyone who turns their back on God and tries to go their own way. But brothers and sisters, honestly, if you're going to be a person of faith, if you're really going to wear the badge that says Christian, then you've really got no choice, do you? When God confronts you, there really is no choice. You adjust your life, you conform your life to whatever it is that God wants for your life, and you do whatever it is that God requires. So Bill Wallace graduates high school, goes on to college, goes on to medical school, and becomes a medical missionary in China for the rest of his life. Behold the bond slave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. To be able to make that work, we've got to remember that the old life that we controlled is dead. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If anybody can find 20 chapters in Galatians, I've got $5 for you. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The old life that you controlled is dead. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, one of the oldest Baptist doctrines is the idea of once saved, always saved. Now, this was a big issue back in the earliest days of Baptist life, back in the 1600s, because other Protestant denominations were teaching you could lose your salvation. And Baptists have always been people of the book. So when Jesus says that no one will snatch you out of my hand, we take him at his word that our salvation is secure and no one will snatch us out of his hand. The problem that we have had over the years is that we've weakened the meaning of what it means to be saved. People on the outside look at how too many church people act Monday through Saturday and scratch their head at the incongruity or the downright hypocrisy of it all. Praising Jesus on Sunday, living like the devil the rest of the week. And they wonder, how does that work? Over time, we've come to believe that if someone walks an aisle, meets the preacher, gets baptized, and joins the church, they were saved. But all too often, all they did was meet the preacher, they didn't meet Jesus. When they got baptized, they didn't get washed in the blood of the Lamb, they just got wet. And they may have joined a religious organization, but they didn't join the kingdom of God. And the evidence of that is their own life. Nothing's changed. They're still the same person. They're still running their life. They have not surrendered anything to God. They're still calling the shots. They're still making their own choices. They're still going their own way. They are not a bond slave of the Lord, but they are a slave to their own passions and their own desires. These are the people Jesus was speaking of when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, only the one who does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. The rest, no matter how they protest, he only has one thing to say: depart from me, I never knew you. It's not enough for us to say we know him. To get into his Father's house, he's got to know us. So the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is what it really means to be saved. This is what it means to be saved, to be crucified with Christ, to have our old life, the life we controlled, the life where we called the shots, nailed to a cross and die. And then to have God raise us up to a new life in Christ, where Christ himself lives in us. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be saved. Anything else short of that is just nothing. It's worthless. This is what those first Baptists understood way back 400 years ago. When you are living a life solely by faith in the Son of God, then indeed nothing will snatch you out of his hand. Nothing ever could. So for the person who is truly saved, who no longer lives for themselves in the flesh, but lives in Christ, there is no choice, really, when God confronts you. When Jesus says, I want you to go, you go. When God says, I want you to come, you come. And some people are going to think that you're crazy. Wait, you're leaving? You're leaving to go do what? When I went off to seminary, I went straight from college to seminary, and what I found was, I was one of the youngest people there. Guy across the hall from me had been working as a pharmacist for 15 years. Can you imagine the conversation he had at the pharmacy? Well, guys, this is going to be my last week. It is? What, did you get a better offer? Where are you going? Tell me, I'm able to go with you. Yeah, I got a better offer. God has called me to go to seminary. How much does that pay? You're leaving to go to be a... Are you crazy? You might think that. And they will think that. They will. They'll think that. But you know why they think that? Because they don't know the Jesus you know. They don't know his voice like you know his voice. And they don't know the riches, the joy, the benefit, the power, the deal that Christ has for you if you just pick up your cross and follow him. They don't know that. So they don't get it. And yeah, they'll think you're crazy. The old life you once controlled is dead. The new life you now live, Christ controls. And wherever he leads, I'll go. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. The new life which you have in Christ doesn't belong to you. Verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. There's that word again. A bondslave of Jesus Christ. Sends his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Brothers and sisters, God requires your surrender, your complete surrender. And what that means is that if God wants you to serve in the palace, then you go serve in the palace. And you sleep on comfy beds and eat good food. And you're there not because you want to be there, but because God put you there. If God wants you to serve in the street, you go serve in the street. Not because it's noble to serve in the street. Not because you want to be there, but because God put you there. That's the surrender. You don't go anywhere or do anything on your own. You do it because this is what God requires of you. So Paul writes to the Colossians while he's in prison in Rome. And it seems that this fellow Epaphras, who Colossians chapter 1 verse 7 implies was the chief teacher of the church when it began, is now in prison in Rome with Paul. So he's there as a servant and supporter of his teacher, Paul. And reading between the lines, it seems that this man was in Colossae, which is in southwestern Turkey now. And he was called by God to go be with Paul in prison. It's not like Paul was in some great place. Hey, Paul's down at the beach. God's called me to go be with him, so I'll see you guys later. Paul's in prison in Rome. This is not good. And he comes to the church and he says, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I'm going to Rome. I'm going to go be with Paul. Why? Because God wants me to go. He is a bond slave of Jesus Christ, Paul says. He goes where God sends him. He speaks what God gives him. He does as God instructs him. So if God wants to leave his home and his family and his friends in southwestern Turkey and travel 1,000 miles to Rome, then he leaves home and he makes the journey and he gets settled in the jail cell there with Paul in a little clump of old hay over there in the corner. And he does this not because it's a nice thing to do. He didn't come to the church and say, you know, I feel bad for Paul. Wouldn't it be nice if I just went and visited him for a little while? No. No one wants to do that. You go because God sends you. Because the reality is, when the Romans decide to put Paul to death, they very likely are going to put anybody who's in that jail cell with him to death as well. And he does it all with joy. He doesn't go begrudgingly. He doesn't go dragged along by the Holy Spirit. He does it all with joy. Because brothers and sisters, there is no greater joy in your life than to be right in the middle, right in the sweet spot of God's will for your life. A bondslave of Christ does everything with joy. As one who is truly saved, your life is not your own. Your life belongs to Christ. You exist to serve Christ however he chooses. And it doesn't matter how hard or how easy, it's all the same. I have a friend who was once a missionary in Hawaii. Well, that's tough duty, isn't it? Missionary in Hawaii. But you know what? When that season was over, you know where God sent him? Oklahoma. And nowhere near the city. He goes from Hawaii to Oklahoma. Can there be two places more different anywhere in the world than those two places? But it didn't matter. All that mattered to him was the joy of serving Christ. Wherever Christ placed him, his life was not his own. And he did not get to choose, for his life belonged to Christ. Finally, peace, joy, happiness, real life. This is all found when we surrender to God's will. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Romans years before his imprisonment, says in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God." We exult. So we have peace through God, through Jesus Christ. We have happiness. We exult. We have joy. Life. All of this is found as we surrender to God's will. Everything the world is searching for, everything all those people who fill the streets protesting, everything they're looking for, everything people go to school for, everything that they search for, everything people chase after is all found in Christ Jesus. And as we know it, as we get close to him, we discover his will. But more, we discover the benefits of surrendering to his will. Remember what Jesus said? It was in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. A man goes and he finds a treasure hidden in a field. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. To give up all that you have, everything, to be able to have what God's got for you. This is his desire for you. Because whatever you've got is nothing compared to what he's got for you. The field might have cost $1,000, and so you go and you sell everything you have to buy the field because there's millions there in that treasure. The pearl of great price is worth more than anything that you have, and you go and you give everything. Everything. When I say that Bill Wallace spent the rest of his life in China, and he did, he died there. He had time and time again opportunities to get out. He said no. This is where God wants me. This is where God places me. And I'm going to stay until God moves me. And he would not have traded anything in the world for the joy, the peace, the happiness of knowing God's will. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for this church. Let's be willing to lose everything in order to gain everything. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. Lord, we've got high school students who are thinking about college. We've got college students who are thinking about careers. Lord, help them to think about you and what you want for them. Help them to find you and your desire for them. And so, Father, as we go forward, we get careers, we get married, we get kids, and we get into a routine. But, Father, even in the midst of that routine, you can be a pharmacist for 10 years, 15 years, and walk away from it all to lose everything in order to gain everything. And what you gain is so much more than what you lose. You're just having a normal day. And you walk by a burning bush. You're just having a normal day. Washing your nets. And a man comes to you. You're just on a business trip. But you'll never be the same. So, Father, let us hear your voice calling on our lives. Let us hear your voice calling on our church. And wherever you lead, we'll go. Thank you.